Welcome to Really You, a podcast about wearing your voice well, brought to you by Reitmans. I'm your host, Chris Bergeron. In this episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Julie Black, Canadian singer, songwriter, producer, and actress. Julie Black has received many honors, including an armful of Juno nominations and wins. She's a vocal advocate of inclusion and diversity. Through her powerful voice, Julie Black aspires to make the invisible visible. Hey, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, you. I'm so happy to have you here to discuss, well, first, the t-shirt.
Yes.
That you've designed with Reitmans.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe it for us?
Ooh, well, there is a square, there's a box, and there's two words above. The way I remember it designed, depending on where they positioned the words, I am, je suis. Yeah. For me, any words you put after the two words, I am, has power.
Yeah.
So, you know, most of us go through life saying, I am tired, or I am, you know, frustrated. I am just all these negative I ams. But my intention is to have the entire world, especially through Reitmans, to have us say powerful, strong, empowering, inspirational words after the words I am. I am bold, I am beautiful, I am strong, I am determined, I am resilient, I am faithful, I am courageous, and the list goes on. And really, I wanted the words outside of the box on purpose, because we have, as a society, have allowed other people to tell us where we should be positioned in life. And it's time for us now to step outside of the box, think outside of the box, live outside of the box, create our own box, which is basically the entire world. Yes, the globe is a circle, but really, you know, as kids, for example, we played in a sandbox, and there was joy in that sandbox. And so it's to really rebrand and just a bit of reformation of what this box could mean.
So you want women to put on this t-shirt and rethink their lives, in a way, set up their intentions for the day.
That's the word, intention, because you see, so many of us go through life having goals. I want to fit into the skinny jeans. I want to, you know, I want somebody to pick me to be their partner. You know, I want somebody to hire me. But really, it starts with how we think, believe, and feel about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the first person, unless you have somebody in your bed, but the first person you see every day, especially in the mirror, is yourself.
Right.
And we have, you know, roughly 60,000 thoughts every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that voice is our own.
Yeah.
And so using the words, I am, as a declaration, as soon as my eyes pop open, I am thankful I'm allowed to be alive.
Right. This is how you would finish the sentence.
Yeah. I am grateful.
Yeah.
So, so grateful. Not everybody woke up today.
Yeah.
Some people are living on life support right now.
Yeah.
So I am.
So it's an act of centering yourself. It's a powerful t-shirt.
Thank you.
And so I am caring for you in this case, because the t-shirt is connected to a cause as well.
My charity of choice is the Pinball Clemens Foundation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was raised in an at-risk area in Toronto called the Jane and Finch community. And to know that being a part of this campaign is going to benefit many boys, girls, the youth who simply need a chance to dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes we think we have to make these big $10 million donations, but if somebody could give us a chance, and that's what I love about this campaign, it really signifies a chance.
Well, I think there's an act of solidarity in that campaign. It's wonderful to see those seven women coming together and you know, not only sharing what they believe in, but also what they care about and their own vision of what a voice is.
Right.
So how did you find your voice? You had many voices, actually.
Well, correct. My voice found me.
Yeah.
That's how I often say my voice found me, especially my musical voice. You know, being 6 years old, singing around the house, but also going to church with my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being put in youth choir, children's choir, and then, you know, the adult choir. As I got older, I realized that what was coming out of my mouth, melodically, it really helped other people feel good.
Yeah.
And when you could help other people, at 6 years old, I recognize this. Mm-hmm. When I sing these songs, people respond in a way that's positive. Mm-hmm. And it was like a ricochet, it came back to me. I start to feel good too. Mm-hmm. So I want to use my voice more. Mm-hmm. And then I'd feel good as well.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have a musical voice. You could be the voice, you could be an advocate.
Yeah.
Be the voice of the voiceless. Mm-hmm. And so, though my musical voice, and now I do many things with my voice, it's really the message is we all have 360 degrees of our voice. It's just how are we choosing to use it?
It's interesting because you talk about, in a sense, how doing good and sharing with others can be pleasurable. It can almost be a selfless act, can be a little bit selfish because you feel good after.
Right, well. Right. Well, you know, I love the way you put it, that it was selfless.
Yeah.
And still, it felt so good.
Yeah.
So really, it filled my own joy bank. And some people are afraid to do for others, thinking that they're going to be taking from themselves, thinking they're going to have less, like there isn't enough. Mm-hmm. But back to the I am. If you declare I am enough,
yeah,
you'll have more than enough to share. Mm-hmm. Because when the word enough is overflow.
Yeah.
There's no deficit in enough.
Yeah.
So when you can declare that I am enough, mm-hmm. you'll have more to give.
There's always room for more.
There's always room for more to share. I often say you'll have enough reserve to serve.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
So... You just mentioned the word joy bank, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. How
is the state of the global joy bank or the world joy bank today? Do you think it's full, or do you think it needs a little bit of replenishing?
I fundamentally believe that the world's joy bank is a reflection of your inner joy bank.
Okay.
So the world's joy bank is in overflow for me because
right.
I live in overflow.
Right.
So if everybody starts to adapt that lifestyle that I am abundant, I am in the overflow, I am enough, mm-hmm. then we won't be paying attention to negative news that's going to zap your joy bank.
Right.
You'll be actually projecting positive news and looking at challenges as opportunities.
Yeah. That seems difficult, though, to be always in that positive mindset. How do you do that? I know I don't. I there are days where... I think all of us feel a little bit sad and have their joy bank a little bit empty. So how do you manage to keep that energy going? Is there a secret to that?
Well, the secret is in being kind to yourself on those days when you're sad, mm-hmm. on those days when I lost my mom, so I've experienced hard grief, you know, but even as I was experiencing that extreme pain, it didn't take away from my joy bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are memories. You could really think about the positive memories. You could think about the experiences you've had with people. Like I'm reading this book right now, and I had a revelation recently that we really live a perceived reality. And so, for example, let's say right now someone just told you won the lottery,
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna celebrate, or you got an inheritance or some sort of windfall.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, here you are, $10 million is for you. You're going to exude some sort of emotion, some sort of feeling.
Hopefully, yes.
Oh, not hopefully. Oh,
yes, I would, yes.
Something would happen. If we're being honest with ourselves,
yes.
There's going to be an emotion.
Yes.
And if a minute later, that same person or someone said, oh, sorry, it was actually a hoax, you're going to exude another emotion.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is both emotions came from a thought.
Yeah.
And so now my mission in life for myself, because I'm on a journey, as we all are, is am I going to be the thought or am I the thinker?
Wow, okay.
Right? Yeah. So the goal for me is to become the thinker, mm-hmm. to really know that thoughts become things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think probably because you're a performer, it adds a tangible aspect to what you're saying, because these are things that you have to bring on stage. You transfer thought and feelings into a piece of art, into something that will actually connect with the public.
Yeah, for sure. And one step before I get to the stage, it's my faith. It's my belief system. Belief to believe is actually a system that has to be developed. You know, we have to, beyond believing in ourselves, it's like seeing a baby crawl, fall down, walk, fall down. Eventually, this baby gets confidence and believes that it's going to stand up and walk. Even at that young of an age, mm-hmm. there's a something that's, there's a system being developed mm-hmm. that is really intuitive and really like, I can do this. It's, even though the kid can't say it with its mouth, we were all that child.
Right.
And so it's, that's fundamentally where I'm at in my life, where I'm like, you know what? Being a part of this campaign, for example,
yeah.
you know, being able to represent bold women, strong women, but Black women.
Yes.
I'm a born Canadian. I'm a born Black Canadian woman. Mm. Being able to say, this is Canada. This is the Maple Leaf as well.
Yeah.
That in itself is, before I get, before anyone sees a photo or a t-shirt or hears a podcast or sees a video, I had to come into this with the intention of being, you know, of loving myself, being kind to myself, confident, and knowing that I'm a part of this quilt.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a responsibility because you're part of the you know, the great Canadian quilt, but in, mm. there also is probably a deficit of Black voices in Canadian media, as opposed to, let's say, the States.
100%. Thank you for mentioning that.
What will bring more Black voices to the forefront in Canada? What do we need to do for that to happen?
Well, that's such a beautiful question. I believe allyship, sitting with people as beautiful as you are.
Oh, thank you.
Right? You are beautiful, by the way. Hello, you can't see her, but hey. but ultimately, knowing that we need allyship.
Yeah.
You know, all nations, but if I were to speak bluntly, Black people need white people
yeah.
to see us
yeah.
and to recognize that we are able and educated and articulate and equal mm-hmm. to everyone else, you yeah. know? And so I think that's definitely a part of it. For me, you know, I've been in this business now for 20 plus years, even though sometimes it feels like I just started yesterday, I'm having so much fun.
Yeah.
However, I'm real with myself in knowing that there were times where I had to start over again and again and again and again. So I'm looking forward to having enough effect, to be enough impact and to be effective enough mm-hmm. where my roots are planted so deep now I could be that key holder and do the hiring and create yeah. inclusivity. You get what I'm saying? We need to also be in positions of ownership.
You have to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Correct, right? So I am an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so this is why, you know, I launched my own charity, Shape the World International Education. I have a fitness organization, mm-hmm. 100 Strong and Sexy. Of course, Julie Black, the musician,
yeah.
Julie Black, the singer. I just came off of a Broadway run, you know, in Winter Garden in Toronto, a musical theater. So really, I think it's important for all nations, but if I'm speaking specifically to the Black community, to diversify yourself where it's not because you're desperate, but it's because you're gifted.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, I was focusing only on music. Mm-hmm. I'm a singer. It was a very narrow. Mm-hmm. I was actually limiting myself and where there was other beautiful things that I love to do and I would do behind the scenes, but I wasn't devoted to it.
So it's almost as if you stopped asking and you started taking.
Well, taking responsibility.
Right, yeah.
For my actions, for my abilities.
Right.
Right? And in love and in grace, mm-hmm. because there's a difference between having, you know, a personality that is big and bold and having an attitude because you're bitter and resentful.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, that's interesting because that deals with perceptions as well.
Agreed.
And being a public figure, there is what you project and then there is what people see. How do you deal with that, this notion that you live in other people's eyes?
I love that question, especially in the day of social media.
Yeah.
So I put real things on my social media. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, I got to the hotel and, you know, I took off my wig.
Right.
And, you know, I have my braids underneath and I put a picture of myself up with my braids.
Yeah.
Without the wig.
Yeah.
Not trying to pretend, yeah, I have hair. My hair is braided. But right now,
yeah.
you know, if I look at somebody like Dolly Parton, no one's seen her hair. She's been wearing wigs since the 60s.
Yeah.
No one knows, but it looks like her hair.
Yeah.
And so there's also a stigma in the Black community about hair.
Yeah.
Right? So there's lineage of what is beautiful. How do we define our beauty? Through our hair.
Yeah.
Right? So part of my brand strength, my brand identity is authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't run into that problem in perception versus reality. I've always lived the reality.
Right.
And I put it out there.
Yeah.
I'm unafraid to be vulnerable. I've shared everything about my life in a way where I'm doing a project right now where they're asking me, could you share a little bit less because we want to save some of it?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Can I tell everybody? I share everything.
But that's when the notion of faith, you know, you were talking about faith a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. The notion of faith in yourself and perhaps in something greater than yourself probably gives you strength to be that candid about your life.
Yes, and I'm going to start with my mom and dad.
Right.
So what I think many people may not realize how much our first family in the first 5 to 10 years of your life shapes your life.
Right.
And there are things that we have to unlearn as well, that we've learned in our family, that we were just told and taught, and through repetition and through routine and through ritual, we think it's doctrine when it's not. Right? And so... So even getting to know God, like I am a Christian woman. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, though, I had to come to know that beyond scripture, there's a higher power that is, I'm looking at you and your eyes are blinking. Mm-hmm. You're not telling yourself, blink, blink, blink.
Yeah.
Our hearts are beating, our lungs are expanding. Yeah. We get a cut, it heals. Yeah. The skin regenerates. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way, there's a power outside of our human brain, mm-hmm. that's doing it on our behalf. And so for me, if that, even if I could explain faith even in that way, that you're not questioning your next breath, mm-hmm. you believe that you're going to have another breath.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith.
Yeah.
We're not walking around with oxygen tank because we're afraid.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So that's I'm on a mission in a way that I'm happy we're having this candid conversation to kind of eradicate the religious fear, dogma, and all that stuff where it's like, hey, there's a chair here. I'm sitting on it, believing it's going to hold my body weight up.
Yeah, so it's a way of seeing the world. It's a way of placing yourself in the world and having, I guess, being... aware of the forces that play in it.
I love it.
And that are beyond you. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. They are beyond you.
Yeah.
Boom, mic drop.
And so that's too bad our mics are attached.
Right? Yeah.
Do you have a lot of conversations about that with people who don't have faith? Is that a dialogue that happens a lot in your life?
Not a lot, but I have.
Yeah.
And there was a religious man that helped me have sympathy and grace, I would say, for those who don't have the same belief system as I do. And he simply said, even atheists believe that they don't believe.
Right. Yes. Everybody's got something.
Everybody believes something.
Right.
So let's focus on the belief system.
Grace is a beautiful word.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Having the, and it's probably something that's missing in today's world. We live in a harsh society.
Unforgiving.
Mm-hmm. What is your definition of grace?
Grace is unmerited favor, unmerited forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift that is given without the need for anything in return.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. What would you say were the gifts that you've received?
My voice, my musical voice.
Yeah.
I did nothing for it. I didn't apply.
Yeah.
I didn't put in a resume somewhere. I was born with this gift, I have a strong gift in connecting people. So much so I got this tattoo.
Oh, show me.
It's a bridge.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right.
A bridge builder.
Right, I'm a bridge builder.
Okay.
You know, and I'm
did you get it?
Bridge.
Did you get it after the American election? Is that
no.
in reaction to Trump?
Well,
or?
Funny enough, I often say we build bridges, not walls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
It's very topical.
Right, exactly. But to know that a bridge fundamentally helps people and things get from one place to the next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simply put. That's my lot in life. That's my mission in life. And sometimes it's a very... it's a position that, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a position that may not get the rewards that others may want.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that you are fulfilled because the next generation, like, for example, I'm living in a time where, we have Drake and we have Alyssa Cara. We have, I'm thinking like people that have pigment, people of color, the Weeknd, the list goes on that have had super international acclaim. And post, in a time where when I was coming up, we didn't have social media, we didn't have, barely had radio, barely had record companies wanting to sign us, you know? And so it had to, for me, it's like to know that I am a pioneer.
Well, you're a trailblazer because you know? Before you, how many black artists were there in Canada? Singers?
Singers, I honestly...
Maybe there wouldn't be a Drake.
Possibly, yeah. You know, but and I've had to unpack that. I've had therapy. I'm an advocate for therapy.
Oh, really?
And to really know, yeah, because mental health is health.
Yeah.
And to know whether it's sadness or depression or jealousy or whatever, just knowing that something, there were emotions in me that wasn't serving me positively, and it really had to do with comparisons.
Well, maybe even, why is it that that person has sort of, is global right now, even though I did the groundwork?
Right, correct.
That sort of...
Correct, yeah. I said I'm an open book. I'm unafraid to share.
Yeah. Well, that can be very frustrating, I imagine. And that's the risk of being a trailblazer, I suppose, right?
Correct.
You pave the way, and then there is a way, and people... get on it and benefit from your work.
You paved the way and then there is a way. I mean, I need to write that down.
You need to write it down?
No, I'm just going to put that quickly in my thing because I don't want to forget. That's
all right,
amazing.
I'll let you write it down.
No, that's amazing. You paved the way and then there is a way. Whoo, that's deep.
Hey, I try.
Whoo, paved the way. We're keeping it real, people. You might edit this out, but I'm just keeping it.
Paved the way, we might keep it.
Is a way.
We might keep it. It's a candid moment. It's
fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pave. All right. Perfect. Got it.
So do you see yourself more, you know, what are you, an activist or a singer or both? What's at the heart? Do you, when you wake up in the morning, I am, if you were to pick one, maybe you shouldn't pick one, but if you were to pick one.
If I were to pick one, I am the voice of the voiceless.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that covers all the spectrums.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, let's talk about the voiceless. What's your relationship then with people who have less of a voice? You spend a lot of time in you know, schools and workshops.
Oh, yeah.
And what is that like, that contact?
It's incredible. And I would say, you see, we all get the same 24 hours.
Yeah.
So it's not, for me, it's not about spending a lot of time. It's more so creating capacity because we can't make time or create time.
No.
But we can create capacity by doing less of something else and more of something else.
Yeah.
Right? And so for me, it's definitely community, being in the communities, all communities, the youth for sure, the schools, but also the adults. We have adults who have grown up but haven't matured.
Right.
Right? And so there's a, remember earlier we were talking about unlearning.
Sure.
So, you know, my best friend and I in Kitchi, we have an organization, now she's actually from Montreal, called Empowered in My Skin.
Okay.
And that's just that in itself, the skin that we're in.
Yeah.
We're walking around every day, some people pretending that they're empowered, pretending that they're strong, or going, trying to put on a brave face. Like, what are all these cliches? Like, no need to put on a brave face. You are the brave face. You are the face.
Yeah.
And sometimes the bravest face is being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And totally shattered and sharing, I am shattered and I need help.
It's important to be unpolished in a word that's in a world that's trying to make us, you know,
filtered.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's a filter.
Yeah. You're not a big fan of social media, I imagine.
I am. I'm all over social media.
It's funny because there's two types of social media in a sense, right? There's a type that divides us and puts us into boxes, and then there's the community building type as well, where people share their stories and all of the women that we've spoken to in the past couple of days that are in this campaign have that sort of double relationship.
Yeah, me too.
Very candid on social media, in opposition to the picture that is probably right next to theirs on the feed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So social media to me is this. Social media is people sitting in the meantime.
Yeah.
Looking at other people's prime time.
Right.
Thinking that that's their meantime.
Yeah.
So again, I'm on this mission where it's like, you know what? Social media has its reality in its sense, where I know people who are afraid to speak outside of social media.
Yeah.
So you go to their page and then you'll know how they're feeling.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, then I'm like, do I know you? Like, you're actually like, you barely say anything in person, but on Instagram, you have a million voices.
They're like real behind a filter.
Real behind a filter, right? And then, you know, there are those who are literally using it as a barometer, trying to say that they're not successful.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so there's a whole list that goes on. So I had to, I decided to unfollow, I unfollowed 5,000 people.
Okay. Yeah.
And the reason why I even had, I was following so many, because I used to do follow for follow.
Sure.
In the beginning, the early days, right?
Yeah.
And then my feed, I noticed, I remember a gentleman said this and I thought it was very profound. It hit me in a way. He said, follow people that are going in the direction that you're going or that you would like to go.
Yeah.
So when I was seeing all these memes and all these like certain fitness people that first were positive, but then I just was seeing butt shots all day. Yeah. They started to change to try to get likes, views, and follows.
Yeah,
I had to unfollow.
That's where the notion of attention comes in every little detail of our lives, in a sense, right?
Correct.
I mean, something as basic as who I follow is an intention, because we're being brainwashed every day by the people we follow.
I could,
so might as well be brainwashed in a positive light.
That's
positive
right.
Way.
Yeah. And it's food.
Yeah.
To me, you're still ingesting what you're seeing.
Yeah,
what you hear. What you see, what you actually put in your mouth, all food.
Yeah. But we're lucky because we're in the generation, you know, we were adults when social media hit the mainstream. And so with a sense of the world, it's tougher for kids whose shape of the world is being, or vision of the world is being shaped by these platforms.
Yeah. In a sense, I mean, they don't, to me, it's like a baby or a young child that is being raised a vegan.
Right.
They don't know what meat tastes like, so they're not missing anything.
That's true.
Right? So I think that sometimes it's tougher for our generation because some of us are trying to figure out how to be in that world and be in our world rather than just be themselves.
Yeah.
Right? And if one person hits like, great. Who cares? You know what I mean? Because even me, there was a time where I'd go back and look and see how many views or go look at my insights. Like it was driving me nuts. And then I took 4 complete months off.
Yeah.
Like, actually, like, off. Took the app off my phone, but I noticed my finger was still going there for, like, the first week.
It's crazy.
My finger was naturally going to where the Instagram was.
Yeah.
I said, okay, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, this podcast will be on Instagram, but...
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited to share.
Most probably. So what are the... I mean, everything we're seeing is so interesting, but I'd love to hear about your next artistic projects. Mm-hmm. What gets you going these days as a singer?
Well, as a creative.
As a creative.
Yes, yeah, I'm fully in creative mode now.
Yeah.
So I did a musical theater production called Carolina Change.
Yeah.
And it was on Broadway. It won a Tony Award. It came to Toronto and they scouted me out to be Caroline, to be the lead. And it was my first time doing musical theater in my life.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Ever.
Wow.
I trained for 14 months. I learned so much about myself fundamentally and about how I see the world. And to know that, I mean, it took place in 1963, and so I was a maid, and there was other stories about it. But the whole point was it made me have so much appreciation, especially for the time that I was born in.
Yes.
And the time that I'm living in now.
Yes.
Right? The opportunities that I have as a black woman now is a black person, period. Not having to drink from an all-black fountain or not having to enter through the back door or being able to sit at the front of the bus. Like all of these things that I think so many people don't necessarily, you know, pay attention to because it's like, oh, we're in the glory days. That was the past.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago. It's like 50 years ago.
And it's, for some people, it's still around, you know. So, trans people in washrooms, that right was only, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, 4 years, even still, even like maybe a year or two, you're starting to see it peppered in more and just in the places that are completely mainstream.
Yeah. Yeah, there are so many... battles to be fought or that are being fought simultaneously. So that notion of solidarity is something that's extremely important. My fight is your fight and your fight is
mine.
Fight.
Absolutely. I think that we're living in a day where we need to get woke. We need to wake up.
Yeah.
Right?
But woke has almost become a bit of a
trend?
Yeah. and a bit of a nasty word. Sometimes people say woke is too much, right? It's become something that is an accusation in the culture wars, I find.
Yeah. I have a problem with people who are uncomfortable sitting in their discomfort.
Yeah.
Because as we project that, oh, that's too aggressive, oh, that's, I mean, I was told I was attacking a woman on Canada Reads, you know, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And that clip went viral because, yes, I stood up for myself.
Yes.
Right? And mm-hmm. So to some, it might have been I was too woke. But to the culture and to my culture, it's like, you know what? There are women, especially Black women, being told that they're angry Black women or they're aggressive or they're too firm or too strong or too bold when you just haven't, you have a say, you have an opinion, and you're intelligent and you have a right.
Well, the right to be awake.
The right to be awake.
That's what woke is.
Right. Yeah. And the right to not settle for projections.
Yes.
What people are projecting on you. Like, why? I'm not going to settle for people's projections anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're on stage and musical theater is something entirely different.
I love it so much.
You talk about projection, but that's a whole new way of owning your body and your presence on stage. And
oh my gosh.
Right?
I'm going to steal that from you too. Stolen. Owning your presence.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I gotta put that.
Yeah,
down
take
too.
A note for that one as well.
Could
yeah,
I?
Yeah, of course.
No, seriously, I'm gonna have to create a whole folder for you.
My God, now I'm blushing.
Yeah, the wisdom you have.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that musical theater. I've always been told about my presence. So, Julie, you walk into a room and people feel your presence. We're just upstairs. I walked in. Someone said something positive. I says, "You could only see what you are."
Right. Yeah.
You're not gonna see my light if you're sitting in darkness. It's just the law.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so similarly with musical theater, I knew I had to be present in a way, like literally feeling the ground under my feet.
Yeah.
And now I take that into my life.
Well, that's what artists can teach, or at least stage artists
mm-hmm.
can teach the world, you know, how to be present mm-hmm. and radiate.
Yes.
And so many women have it's hard to find that light and that strength and to sit, you know, have both feet on the ground saying, this is who I am.
Yeah, you know, and I'm so excited we're talking about this because I think so many have just lost their way. So right. the light, they don't realize that it takes just a match. Like if we were in this pitch black room and you lit a match,
yeah,
then it would have light. We'd have light.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes I need to smile at you, Chris, so then you could see some light and then give light back,
yeah.
right? And so just think about kids again.
Yeah.
Kids, all they know is light.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens or is projected on them or impressed upon them and the light goes dim, but it doesn't have to be dim forever.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
More light for everyone.
More light. 1,000 watts for everyone.
That's what we're wishing upon the world.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for this conversation.
Oh, it's over?
It was a... Well, I mean...
I know, right? No, I know. We have other work to do.
We got a good 40 minutes in.
Okay.
Well, it was a real pleasure meeting
you. Thank you.